and welcome to another episode of our On the Hoof podcast for Vets in Practice. I'm Alison Braddock, Marketing and Business Development Manager for SRUC Veterinary Services, and I'm delighted to have Helen Carty talk about BVD Eradication Scheme Phase 6. Now, Helen is Centre Manager and Veterinary Investigation Officer in AIR. Hello, Helen, and welcome.
Thanks, Alison. Nice to hear you.
It would be useful if you could give us an overview of the eradication programme and what's actually happened so far in Scotland, Helen.
Sure. I think many vets in Scotland will feel like we've been at this for a very long time, and they're justified in feeling that because we have been at this for a long time, but we have been making progress as we go along. So our eradication scheme started way back in 2010 when funding was made available to support testing. So it was really given as an enticer to farms to begin to work with their vet to understand their status. And the reason it was decided that that would happen was because some original survey work estimated that 40% of herds in Scotland had evidence of exposure to BVD. And so 60% didn't. And we knew that other countries in Europe, for example, were moving forward with eradicating BVD. We knew we had the diagnostic tools that we could do it. And we knew that by removing virus from the Scottish herd, it would improve the health and welfare of our cattle industry. So we started very much with a carrot approach of offering money to help farmers understand their status. That was in 2010. By 2013, it was necessary for all herds, all breeding herds in Scotland, just to have a status. It didn't matter what that status was, but they just had to do some testing, and there were lots of different options for that. In 2014, it became an offence to knowingly move a virus-positive animal, and herds had to declare their status before sale. But other than restrictions on herds that hadn't done their testing, there were still no real restrictions in place. And so it wasn't until the summer of 2015 that movement restrictions were put on herds that had a not negative status. And so that meant that cattle from herds with a not negative status couldn't move other than direct to slaughter unless they'd been individually tested as virus negative. So roll forward, you know, a few more years, we've got this Scott EID database in place, which many vets will be very familiar with. That's where all the information is collated from all of the laboratories and the herd status is displayed. In 2019, further measures got put in place that were really encouraging farmers to do more. So in 2019, on Scott EID, a PI locator became active, and that meant if there were farmers who had virus positive cattle and they were retaining them, keeping them for more than 40 days, then their holding number would be displayed on Scott EID. It also became legislation that if a herd had a not negative status for more than 15 months, then they must undergo a compulsory BVD investigation. So that's getting a virus result against every single animal in their herd, either by individually testing that animal, or for cows, if they've had a calf that was virus negative, the dams would automatically get an assumed negative status. There was also adjustments in Scott EID to flag up risky animals. So herds maybe bought from, cattle rather, bought from non-breeding herds or from out with Scotland, so that we had no idea what their BVD status was. They would be flagged up and they would have to be tested. So increasing stages of legislation have come into place over the years, to the point that we're at now, that we're in phase six. So over that time period, we've gone from having 40% of herds with exposure to BVD down to the current stats show that only 7.5% of herds have got a not negative status. So the data is all available. Actually, we can put a link, Alison, on the website, but the data is all on the EPIC website, and that shows that just now in Scotland there are about 7,700 breeding herds, and 92.5% of them have got either an accredited negative or a BVD negative status. So they're either health scheme herds or by the testing of the scheme, they've got a negative status. And 7.5% of herds have got a not negative status. I think it's likely, though, that BVD is not present in 7.5% of these herds. And so some herds will have a not negative status, perhaps because their annual herd test is late. So herds have to complete a test every year. They get 1 month of grace. But say if they're just over the 13 months since their last herd test, their status would lapse to not negative. Could also be that some herds are perhaps testing by tissue tagging, for example. And if maybe one or two tissue samples had insufficient sample or a calf was missed, then that would be a reason for the calf screen to appear incomplete and the herd status would be held at not negative. Or if a risky animal had been brought onto the holding and not tested yet, again, they could become not negative for that reason. So I think it's important that vets and farmers work together to be sure that they know what their status is showing as, and if the status is showing as not negative, that they address that, they figure out why that's the case and work together to get them a negative status.
So Helen, you've touched on kind of BVD testing levels and numbers of not negatives in Scotland, but how much, in your best guesstimate, how much BVD is there in Scotland now, do you think?
So I'd mentioned that, you know, currently 7.5% of herds have got a not negative status. And I suppose the truth is that we don't know how many of them that status is correct or not. So that's why it's really important that vets and farmers work together so that if there's not evidence of BVD exposure in the herds, we get the testing completed so that we can see what we're left with. At the moment, we are aware that there are 33 known virus positives on the Scot EID system today, but that changes day by day. That changes because test results go onto the system all the time. And those 33 animals will be on approximately 20 holdings, something like that. The good thing is, though, that on the whole, when people are identifying virus positive animals, they're perhaps retesting them, but if they're confirmed as being persistently infected, they are removing them promptly. And that's what we would always encourage to do. So on the PI locator just now, there are only three holdings that have retained a virus positive animal for more than 40 days. 3-4% of herds in Scotland do have evidence of active exposure to BVD, but we can work together to ensure that if there are virus positive animals, they are identified and removed, and we'll gradually drive that number down.
That's really good news, Helen. So looking forward, tell us about the phase six. What's coming next then?
Sure. So in the next phase, which started on the 1st of July, we're really just looking at putting in place more measures to help protect herds and to make life and trading and business difficult for herds that aren't complying. I guess those are the reasons for the increasing levels of legislation. So although phase six started on the 1st of July, the big changes actually don't come in until the 1st of February next year. And the really important one is that if a cow or heifer moves into a herd during pregnancy, her calf must be virus tested within 40 days of birth or before it moves off the holding, whichever occurs first. And so that's really to protect herds from the risk of calves being born to Trojan cows. So when a cow is in calf, it's not possible for us to know the virus status of that calf in utero. And so regardless of the status of the herd of origin, we want to ensure these calves are tagged quickly, tested quickly, so that if they are virus positive, we know about it and we remove them very quickly. So that change comes into place on the 1st of February. That will be compulsory, but it would be great if people start doing that now. In order to facilitate starting to do that now, there's been a change in the rules on what types of tags can be used. So there might be herds that at the moment use a check test for their annual hair test, blood sampling for their annual hair test, and so they don't have official UK tags that can be used for BVD sampling. Therefore, regardless of age, cattle keepers will be able to tissue tag with either a management tag or an official tag. You know, from birth they'll be able to do that, and that will make the testing of these calves from Trojan cows easier. So that's one big change. Another big change that's going to come into place in February as well is that if there is a herd that has been in a CBI for 13 months, then restrictions will be put on that herd, meaning that they cannot move cattle onto the herd. And they will also be listed on Scott EID. So they'll be publicly listed if they're a persistent, non-compliant CBI herd. So those are the big changes that are coming. As I say, the majority of the big changes are coming in February. There's a couple of other smaller changes. One is to bring non-breeding holdings into line with breeding holdings when it comes to PI cattle. So at the moment, the only obligation on a non-breeding herd is that if they happen to have a birth, then that calf needs to be tested within 40 days. Now, if a non-breeding holding knowingly has a virus-positive animal, then that virus-positive animal has to be housed. And if they keep that animal for 40 days, the holding will be listed on Scott EID in the same way that a virus-positive animal from a breeding herd would be listed on Scott EID. And the last change that's come in on the 1st of July is that there will be a period of grace. There'll be a 40-day period allowed when a virus-positive result gets found in a herd to allow for retesting or removing of that animal before the on-movement restrictions begin. So just to allow holdings to understand whether it's just a transient viremia or a persistent viremia, they won't be penalised until that 40 days kicks in.
Thank you, Helen. I can see there are about four main changes there, aren't there? And we can put that information or the links onto the notes for this podcast. So, you know, we've got all this good stuff going on and the new phase six. So what, as a vet, what should vets in practice do to support this? So it's really important, isn't it, that the vets are actually working in partnership with the farmers?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the message would be for vets to keep up the good work. You know, it's become part of the day job that we know that our breeding herds, we know that they need to have a status, but really just whenever you're on farm or doing a herd health plan, just keep that in mind. Remember to check where their BVD status is. It might be that they're doing tissue tagging, for example, so you might not have oversight of all of the results. So just work with your clients to make sure that they understand what their status is. And if they have fallen into a not negative status, then, you know, work with them to determine how they can get their negative status back as soon as possible. It'd be great just to really make your clients aware that if they're buying in pregnant cattle, then the calves born from those dams will have to be tested for BVD virus. And to make them aware that if they have been on a CBI and have not completed it, that it's really important to get that in place by February, to get that CBI complete by February, so that they don't come under further restrictions that could affect their business. I guess the other thing to remember is that although we've made huge progress, you know, I suggested that we've removed more than 7,000 virus positive animals, BVD is still around, and you know, there's still the possibility of bringing BVD into the herd. So I guess just at every opportunity to consider the biosecurity of the herds that you're working with, consider what neighbouring cattle there are. It could be that one of your neighbours has started buying in fattening cattle, for example. If they're not a breeding herd, they're not under any obligation to test. And so if that is the case, are your boundaries good enough? If the boundaries are not good enough, do you need to be vaccinating? I'm conscious that, you know, many newly graduated vets might never have seen clinical disease associated with BVD if they're not as old as I am. And And so vets just still need to remember that if they're seeing presentations of, you know, significant outbreaks of disease in calves, for example, outbreaks of pneumonia or scour that are unusual for particular herds, keep it in your mind. Could there have been a BVD breakdown there? When was last BVD screen done? Should we bring that test forward if it's close to the year? So just to keep it on the radar. I think that's keep alert for the possibility of BVD breakdowns in your herd, and work with your clients to understand where the weak points could be and mitigate against them with vaccination, for example, if necessary. Because it'll take us a while longer till we can say that Scotland is completely free, but if we work together, we'll get us there in the end.
Yeah, thank you, Helen. That's a really good overview of where we are with the BVD eradication scheme in Scotland, and a good overview also of phase six and what vet practices should be doing about it to support. As I've said before, we'll put various links in the notes that we hope our listeners will find useful. So Helen, we also had a chat about a survey that you wanted to remind our vet listeners about. So can you just explain about the survey and what they can do to support it?
That's right. So colleagues of ours within SRUC are working on a project in collaboration with the University of Nottingham that's really looking at BVD control and attitudes towards BVD control. The overall project is working on a simulation model, but as part of that project, we have a survey that's designed for cattle keepers to fill out. And the researchers are particularly interested in the views from Scotland, because, you know, the rest of the nations are looking to Scotland to see what we're doing, what's worked, what's not worked. And so it would be great if you could encourage your farmer clients to take 15 minutes to fill this survey out. Won't take long, but the farmers in Scotland's attitude towards BVD and the control measures is really vital for this research project.
Thank you, Helen. It's amazing, isn't it, what you can do when people actually work together to solve an issue like BVD. We look forward to having Helen on in future podcasts, but thank you for coming in today and talking to me. We hope our listeners found this useful. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, our On the Hoof podcast. We can be listened to on various platforms, including platforms like Spotify. Yes, we'll look forward to speaking with you again soon, Helen. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.